TNB Tech Minute gives you the day's top tech headlines, from the big names in Silicon Valley to the halls of power. If it's making news in tech, we've got it. Check out TNB Tech Minute in the Tech News Briefing feed from The Wall Street Journal. Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, January 25th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Tesla is projecting slower growth for the year ahead, and its fourth quarter revenue came in shy of analysts' expectations. On today's show, we're looking at why new EV drivers may be setting their sights beyond Tesla. One reason? Why buy when you could lease? Stephen Wilmot, an editor of WSJ's Heard on the Street column, tells us why more consumers are looking to lease EVs and what that might mean for automakers. And then, in Europe, Apple users will soon be able to download apps from somewhere other than the iPhone's App Store. But Apple's new policies may mean developers will have to pay to put their apps elsewhere. We'll hear more about the changes from WSJ reporter Aaron Tilley. But first, for a growing number of consumers looking to drive an electric vehicle, leasing one is looking more appealing than buying one. In December, 59% of the EVs sold through U.S. dealerships were leased rather than bought, according to data provider Edmunds. Those numbers don't include Tesla or companies like it that sell directly to consumers. Here to tell us what this shift means for the broader EV market and Tesla is Stephen Wilmot, an editor of WSJ's Heard on the Street column. Stephen, why are consumers interested in leasing EVs instead of buying them?
Leasing makes a really natural fit for three reasons, really. One is that it's a fairly new technology, so people aren't that familiar with it. They might want to kind of see what it's like, to how it works with their lifestyle, charging at home versus charging at fast charging stations. There are some things you'd have to get used to. The kind of try before you buy model kind of makes sense. Another reason is that the depreciation is a bit uncertain. Is it going to follow a traditional car depreciation path? Is it going to be more like consumer electronics? And then the third reason is, which is a new one, the tax credits as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. They incentivize consumers to lease as well, because a lot of vehicles, such as those made by Hyundai, Kia, which aren't made in the US, aren't eligible for the tax credits if you buy them directly. But if you lease them, it is possible to access the tax credits indirectly.
We mentioned that 59% of EVs sold through U.S. dealerships were leased rather than bought. How does that compare to the past?
They're in line with how they were historically, excluding the period when cars were generally in short supply in 2021, 2022, and early last year even.
Those numbers don't include Tesla, though. How does Tesla's leasing compare to other EV makers?
Tesla appears to lease less than others. How much less is a bit unclear in the U.S. What we do know is the share of their deliveries that are subject to operating lease accounting. That's a technical way of saying that they're leased. That actually fell to the lowest number since they started reporting those numbers in the fourth quarter. And that just 2% of Tesla's deliveries in the fourth quarter were subject to operating lease accounting. I should clarify that that doesn't necessarily mean just 2% of Teslas were leased, because, for example, outside of the US, it probably outsources leasing to third parties.
Why does Tesla lease less?
It's not totally clear, but there is some anecdotal evidence that they might be making their leasing terms less attractive. They might have a reason to, because they have been cutting prices for the past year or so, and the residual values of Teslas have taken a hit as a result.
What has CEO Elon Musk said about whether depreciation will affect Teslas in the same way?
Elon Musk is quite open about his belief that Teslas should get more valuable over time because of the software updates, particularly for self-driving features that Tesla would like to be rolling out. But Tesla hasn't actually released the kind of killer features that might actually make that happen.
How might these shifting dynamics change the EV market moving forward?
If residual values are as weak this year as they were last year, then it adds to the cost of EVs in a way that isn't totally clear up front. Essentially, manufacturers are making the EVs look a bit better now, with the risk that they look a bit worse later in terms of their margin profile. That might be what's going on. In some ways, Tesla is avoiding this, perhaps by doing a bit less leasing, but that comes with the risk that it gives its consumers a reason to avoid the brand when they next buy a car. because they had a bad experience with residual values, potentially. And it could shift the market a bit away from Tesla. That's a trend that we've seen building gradually. It's been the very dominant player in the US. That market share has gradually declined, and everyone expects that to keep going as other manufacturers get serious about producing EVs.
That was Stephen Wilmot, an editor of WSJ's Heard on the Street column. Coming up, how Apple is keeping tight control of its app store, even as it's being pushed to allow users to download apps from third parties. That's after the break.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
We're exclusively reporting that Apple will begin allowing people to download apps outside of the iPhone's closed ecosystem, which will be accompanied by new fees and restrictions. The change is only happening in Europe to comply with a new European law that goes into effect in March. The move comes at a moment when Apple's App Store practices are coming under increased scrutiny from regulators. Here to tell us what the change means for app developers and Apple users, and whether such a change could come to the U.S., is WSJ reporter Aaron Tilley. Aaron, break this down for me a bit. How would this work?
Yeah, so Apple wants to keep very close tabs on apps coming onto iPhones, even if they're not coming through the App Store. So they're going to be reviewing and making sure that they're not a security risk. And then they will expect to be compensated in some way. They're very defensive about what they see as their platform and their right to make money off that platform. So they're going to charge a fee on that. We don't know yet exactly what that fee will look like, but it could be a range of things from a cut of sales or a straight fee per developer or per user.
So who would these restrictions and fees really affect? If an app is downloadable from elsewhere, could I still get it on the App Store?
Oh, yeah. And Apple's going to prefer you download them from the App Store. That's the way they're going to try to guide the consumers. Keep downloading and buying from us because we're the safest and we're the best, most curated place to get apps. But there will be new options that Apple's going to have to offer. Soon, you should be able to download directly from websites. So that's Spotify's plan. They're going to want to let consumers download some of their apps directly from Spotify.com. And Meta as well, they're hoping to take advantage of this. So essentially, the Facebook app becomes like its own app store.
Why is this change only happening in Europe?
So due to some pretty powerful new legislation put in place that is going into enforcement this coming March, the Digital Markets Act, and that is the European Union's effort to break down some of these large tech platforms, what they view as prohibiting competition from entering the space.
If Apple is charging fees to companies for not using their App Store, is this truly anti-competitive? Is this following the new European law?
That's still to be determined. European regulators are looking to see the final offer that Apple has to their compliance. And there's been a number of conversations between Apple and the European regulators. So far, European regulators are just waiting for the final results.
What does this mean for companies like Meta and Spotify that have customers download apps from the App Store?
This means that apps could function maybe in potentially new ways, new business models, new types of apps like third-party app stores. So it offers a potential opening of what is possible with an app. On the other side, there is some concern about how open Apple really makes this, given that they will still continue to review software coming onto the iPhone in a close way and collecting fees. Is that going to be prohibitive?
How big a business is the App Store for Apple?
Apple does not release these figures, but it is a very high margin business for them. Analysts estimate between 70 to 80% kind of margins they're getting out of this. So very profitable. They do not want anything interfering with that.
Changing gears a little bit. Recently, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear appeals on a legal dispute between Apple and Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite. Apple responded with some policy changes, including opening its app store to third-party payments and charging a commission to do so. So the change we're seeing in Europe, could the same thing come to the U.S.?
unlikely unless new laws force Apple to. Congress for years has looked at this, a law that would force Apple to open some of these things similar to the Digital Markets Act, but it has not passed and has sat around for a while both parties bicker about other things.
Altogether, what does this mean for Apple, its revenue, and its control over the App Store?
It's still yet to be determined how this really takes off. The concern is that the way that Apple's implementing this, that it won't take off and it'll just be sort of business as usual. But European regulators will be taking a look at this. Does Apple's compliance here truly open the door and offer new competitive options for consumers?
That was our reporter, Aaron Tilley. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Zosala for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.